Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
All right, we need 20 volunteers for the night service tonight. How many of you would? I didn't think that would go over very well. So we will be having a night service tonight. So there's a couple things I want to mention before we get into the word here. First is that, thank you, Dave Tang, for telling us your journey with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that a little bit. So if you're new to that, welcome. But his mention of his kids, all right? So if you don't have kids, it's a real journey of just like looking at and overcoming sin constantly. And with our twins, they have an uncanny way at the dinner table of when we serve them food and they each have a plate. It's the same thing. But they spend the first like 120 seconds looking at each other's plate. Why? To see if that person got more than the other. How many of you know that's just wrong, right? But that's also human nature. So we're going to talk about how the power of the Holy Spirit helps us to live in victory in just a second here. But we do have an opportunity to serve. And every 2 or 3 years, Joel Osteen comes to New York City or New Jersey, and he does an event. We've had many people have, because of his events, we have seen, they refer the people who come to their events to local churches. And we happen to be one of those local churches. We signed up for that years ago when we found out the heart of who they are and what they do. Their deep motive is to reach people with hope, but not to start churches. They want to send the people who are ready to receive the gospel to churches. And so we've been the beneficiary. And I think our church has now baptized close to 100 people who have come to us through that referral. And it's been a real gift. And some of you in this room are here because of that referral, online referral. And so he's going to be coming on May the 2nd with a no-namer called Kanye West at Yankee Stadium. So they're going to fill up Yankee Stadium. It'll be filled up in a matter of hours when they put it online. We have the opportunity. They've asked us if we would want to participate in serving as volunteers. We said we'll be happy to, as we do every year. Some of you know what the benefit is there. It's a free entry to go to this meeting, and it's an opportunity to serve. And some people serve as ushers, greeters, volunteers, working the concession stands, what have you. And so you get in, and they give you a gift, they give you a meal. And most importantly, you're going to be working with hundreds, multiplied hundreds of other believers from around the city, from many churches are participating like we are. It's a good opportunity to meet people and to grow together and to serve something worthwhile. There will be most people who go to these events know Joel, but they don't know Jesus. Now, there's only one correct answer for this next question. What's more important? Thank you. And he will introduce people to Jesus. They'll stand up, and you'll see if you go to this or if you've ever been to a Night of Hope, about 80% of everyone in these stadiums stands up to receive Jesus. So we're happy, we're honored to be a part. This is not a nitpicking theological moment right now. This is about the bigger picture, that there are hurting people out there in our city, and we want to help them through every means necessary. So to volunteer, you just go into the lobby after the service and you just sign up. Say, I want to be one of those volunteers from this church to go and represent. It'll be a very simple explanation. I think the event begins at 7. You'll go there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You'll be there a little bit early. And just serve. And you will not miss anything, by the way. You don't miss anything. So that's the main thing that I wanted to just mention. And I think I'll skip everything else because we want to get in the Word of God right now. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your grace on our lives. And thank you so much for this moment as we've come to the book of Acts. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are referenced here over and over again, that the risen Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit is living and active then and today in our lives. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read the first 4 verses of Acts chapter 2. It says these words, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. This is easy to miss, but the day of Pentecost was a Jewish holiday called Shavuot, which means weeks. It's exactly, Pentecost is the Greek word, Pentecostos, which Pentecostos means 50. It's 50 days from Passover to Pentecost. So this was a moment where there's three times a year, God, under Moses, called all the Jewish people to come to Jerusalem to celebrate in Jerusalem, Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. So this was a moment when the pilgrims of the Jewish tradition would come to Jerusalem. So they were coming expecting one thing, and then out of the ordinary, 50 days after the Passover supper, 50 days after Jesus had already risen, he had made his appearance, he spent many days on earth before he ascended, and then the disciples, still fearful, still afraid, were in that upper room, but something had changed. It was very simple. Something had changed, and it was that they were together. Now, the Greek word here is together, together. You know, you can be together with someone that you're married to, but not be together, together. I hope you get this, because there's a deeper unifying element that had taken place because they were now witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. They had experienced Jesus. They had walked with Jesus for 3 years. Then they were in this moment, in this posture of expectation, where they were like, something good is going to happen to us. And that's the posture they were in, and look what happened. They were together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all, everybody say all, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is, I want to give you three quick points of this brief message. But the first thing that the Holy Spirit, who He is, we'll get to, but the Holy Spirit is active and has always been active in the earth. But when it comes to this moment of His activity, had all of a sudden changed, because in thousands of years leading up to this moment, it would say that the Holy Spirit would rest upon David, rest upon Moses, give insights to different leaders and kings and whoever have you. But at this moment, the Holy Spirit was active by coming upon them and also resting within them. So the Holy Spirit is now taking up His habitation and activating people into a new life and a new way of living as well. And so, you know, the first point about the Holy Spirit activating us is very simple. No one can live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. So many people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. They don't know the Holy Spirit. They're like, well, I don't want to get too much of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, that's an insult? That's like saying, I don't want to get too much of my wife. Are you kidding? I want all of her. I don't want her to just be my cook or whatever. I want all of my wife. I want to know her. I want to be with her. How much more can we have that desire for God? We want to know all about God. And one of the greatest things that we experience in God is otherly, not like us. He is so different, so amazing, so awesome. And He wants to do a new thing in you. And through the prophets of the Old Testament, there was a promise that the Holy Spirit will give you a new heart, a heart that wants more of Him, a heart that's hungry for Him, a heart that's after for Him. I needed a new heart in my life. I needed a new operating system. I could not live the same way that I always lived. And thank God for the new birth and the new creation, the regeneration of my heart and soul that could begin to beat for and long for the living God. That's what happens the moment that Jesus takes up residence in your life. And then the Holy Spirit came, He visited these people, and He began to help them. They all of a sudden were no longer a fearful band of people, just fearful of the Romans, fearful of their death, fearful and hiding out in the upper room. They then began to go out into the marketplace, into the streets, into the courtyard of the house where they were sitting. And if you ever come to Israel with us, we'll show you exactly where that was. It's exciting. And they moved out of the house into the public place, and they began to just praise God in new tongues. He activated them. I can't even imagine trying to do the Christian life. I wasn't born a Christian. And neither were you, even if you grew up in a Christian family. You have to be born again to be a Christian. Born again by the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that did this 2,000 years ago in that upper room is with us today, activating us today. There is no life in Christianity without the Holy Spirit. There is no joy in Christianity without the Holy Spirit. And there is no power in Christianity without the Holy Spirit. So whether you recognize it or not, we need and must have and must experience and live in and dwell in the Holy Spirit in us, but also we are dwelling in the presence of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis. Imagine if someone gave you a new home. Let's say it's on Park Avenue. Would you be excited? I would think so. Let's say they gave you that home. However, there are some issues with the house. No electricity, no HVAC, no heating or cooling, no running water, by the way. And worst of all, no Wi-Fi. Now, also, there's one other condition to this. Before you walk in, there are 613 laws and rules that you must obey before you go in. That place would no longer be a blessing because no one's going to want to come visit you. You're not going to want to live there. You can't take it anymore. There's no connectivity. There's nothing connect like an empty, vacated house. It's just a shell. It's why we call it nominal Christianity. They have it by name, but they've not experienced the power. They have it by tradition, but there's no power. God wants to give you the real thing. God doesn't want you to have a counterfeit. He's not interested in religion, except for a pure and undefiled religion, which is taking care of orphans and widows and having a pure heart. That's good religion. But there's so many replacements. It's just, I don't ever take it for granted when I meet someone. I want them to know the living God. I don't take it for granted, even if they say, yeah, I'm a Christian. It's down in the South where I come from. It's everybody saved. Everybody. Their Aunt Susie's a preacher. Their granddad's a preacher. Their dog's saved. Their cat's... Everybody... It's just assumed in the Bible Belt that everyone knows Jesus. But it's a false assumption because it's going to be shocking when you see what heaven is like, that heaven is going to be full of people that you would not have expected to be there, and you'll be looking for those you thought that they had it just because they had the name of it. The name Christianity doesn't make you a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, no more than going to McDonald's does not make you a Big Mac. You must know him. And most importantly, he must be in you. God loves you. He's got a great plan for your life. And the beginning of that is to write his laws upon your heart and let his Holy Spirit dwell in you. Now, this is making me happy because I know what it was like to live without Christ. And the great shocker to me is I thought those Christians must be the most boring people on the planet. I don't need anything. I don't want anything that they have. They look boring. They look dull. They're all dressed a certain way. I'm not into that drabness, whatever it was that I was looking at and judging. And then the great shocker to me is that when the Holy Spirit came in me, Friday night did not depend upon what was happening. Friday night was all about the love of Jesus in my heart. And I could have had a phone booth to be with on Friday night and had a great time because God had resurrected my heart, my soul, and I was fully alive. That's what God does. He changes you from the inside out. He's a God of change, and he's a God of redemption, and he's a God who does new things in our life. In the Holy Spirit, what he does more than anything and above everything is the Holy Spirit comes and he makes us part of a family. He brings us to the Father. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit directs us upward instead of downward. We once were looking around, how can I make it here? How can I survive? She has more peas than I have. You know, she has three more carrots than I have. That's not right. The Holy Spirit gets our eyes off the fray and helps us to look above. And when we look above, we see a Father who loves us and who's with us. And I want you to make disciples. When we're baptized, Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, I want you to go and I want you to make disciples. And I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you're an evangelical believer and you're from a staunch root of doctrine, notice that Jesus didn't say the Father, the Son, and the Word of God. He said the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? That's the family name. I'm about to go Italian on you. That's the family name. We're baptized into the family. We have a father. We have a father who's on our side. The Greek word parakletos means one called alongside to help. I heard one young, as a young Christian, I heard someone say, God's on my side. God's on my side. I thought that's arrogant. You don't know that God's on your side, but it's scriptural. He is on your side. God, the Holy Spirit, is on your side. He's with you. It doesn't mean he always agrees with us. It means he's there, and the Greek word means to help. He's called alongside to help. There are two primary things the Holy Spirit does. Number one is he helps you. He helps you. How much does he help me? He will help you in every way, and he will especially shock you when he helps you practically. You say, did the Holy Spirit help practically? Yes. How practically? As practically as you will let him help you. That's how practical. As practically as you need. Yes, I am one of those believers that will ask God for a parking place. Yes, I will. Yes, I do. And it's amazing how many times my parking place is right beside the handicap parking place. Yes, it happens. It means I'm right there at the front of the line. Yes, I will ask the Holy Spirit for help. Sometimes when my wife is mad at me, I have an advocate. His name is the Holy Spirit. He's more powerful than my wife. Glory to God. And I lean into him. Lord, give me something to say. Lord, give me some flowers to get. Lord, give me some chakras. Get me out of this, Lord. And yes, sometimes he will convict me of sin, and that's the help I need. I'm selfishly, I have proclivity to selfishness. You don't, but I do. No, we do. We all have issues. We all have things. The Holy Spirit helps. And secondly, the Holy Spirit will always testify of Jesus. Always testify of Jesus. We were at Bear Burger recently, and I think it was with Rachel. I don't remember who we were with, but there was this guy named Tristan, and we were just cutting up, and he was waiting on us, and we were just going at it and laughing, and I started reintroducing him to church. He's been out for a long time, and next thing you know, I'm talking about Jesus, because the Holy Spirit does testify about Jesus, and next thing you know, then it was ending, and he was like, man, thank you. You've stirred up my old roots. I haven't been there in years, and then last night, you ready for this? Last night, I took the girls on a daddy-daughter date, and he wasn't our waiter, but he walked up at the end and said, how you been? And I barely recognized him. He said, you'll never believe, but the last time we talked, he said, I went home. I called my pastor in Michigan. I called him, and I had a long chat with him about where I've been and what's going on and how to reconnect and how to get to know God. He has a long talk, and it helped me so much. And he said, I want to thank you for being here. And I hardly remembered that moment. But God uses us, and he speaks through us for only one reason. Not because of us, but because the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us and speaks through us sometimes in ways that we're not even aware. We're not even aware. We smile. We look at someone. We say something good. We're just there. We open a door. We do little things. It's all because of the love of God, and we give him the glory. This is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to overcome ourselves. There's a lot of talk these days about the coronavirus. And you know, the coronavirus that's spreading, it's actually, when you look at it, it's not even caught up with the regular flu bug. The flu has killed far more people than the coronavirus. We don't think about this, but media begins to bring attention, and there are certain conditions where flu and viruses can spread, and it's bad and all that. But there is a solution. You know what the solution is? It's your immune system. Hello? It's to build up your immune system. And when our daughters went in with the flu, they had it for 3 weeks. It was terrible. One would get it, the other would get it, then the other one would get it again. And I would take them in, and they both had flu type A. Growing up, I didn't know there was a type A, B, C. I didn't know any of that. Do you know that? I mean, I didn't. Where was I? How was I left out of this? It was the flu. Now it's flu types. Well, you know, my daughters are straight A students now. So they had the flu A. Of course they did. It's a joke. And We found that out, and the doctor looked at me and said, have you had the flu? I said, no. She said, has your wife had the flu? I said, no, we haven't had the flu. She said, you've been immunized to that. You see, the longer you live, you get more immunized to certain things that you had in your childhood. And the longer the Holy Spirit is living in you, you're able to overcome those things that are coming from the outside. You're saying, I'm not messing with that. I don't need that anymore. I've been there, done that. I've been immunized to that. I've overcome that. I'm not taking that anymore. It's amazing. The Holy Spirit in you will give you victory in your current situation. See, a lot of people push the promises off, push it to another era, push it to another time, push it to when I get to heaven. But the Holy Spirit is not waiting on us to get to heaven. When we're in heaven, it's all taken care of. We just worship. But right here and right now, we need His active power for wisdom, for guidance, for the family. We need to know our Father. We need to be redirected. We need to view ourselves completely differently. He helps us to get that. Romans 8, verse 14 is a verse that I used to love about the Holy Spirit. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. I used to think that the Holy Spirit's leading me, and I'm able to be led by the Spirit, and these things happen, but it's much bigger than that, and even better than that, is the main way the Holy Spirit leads us is to knowing that we're family. We're sons of God. You're a son of God. That's who you are. This is the amazing grace right here, is that we're part of His family. And we're not just temporarily apart. We're eternally a part of the family of God. Thanks for the Holy Spirit reminding me who I am on a regular basis. I need that. You need that. We need that. So the Holy Spirit, He activates us. He leads us. It says in Acts 1:8 that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But it also says that the Holy Spirit unites us. And in chapter 2, verse 5 through 13, we'll continue to read. And this is complicated reading here because it involves a lot of nationalities. It says, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation. Look at this. Every nation was there. 2,000. Every nation in New York City was in the Bible. You didn't know that, did you? Devout men and women, actually. That's probably a gender neutral in the Greek. I don't know, but it says they were devout men, probably says people. I haven't studied that, but it's they were from every nation under heaven. And it's because it was the feast of Pentecost. And at the sound, this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Do you know what that is? That is the mystery that God chose these people who were spirit. The original 12 primarily were Galileans. Which was, let's just put it like this, they were the hillbillies of Galilee, or of that region. They were the hillbillies. They were the uneducated, they were blue collar, they were tradesmen. They had a dialect of their own. They had a different dialect. I grew up in the South. There are still many people that have this dialect. They would be saying something like that, I'm going to go down there yonder, and I'm fitting to go. Down there yonder to Jerusalem. I'm fixing to go down there yonder to Jerusalem. Yet. That means, did you eat yet? Have you eaten yet? And so they have this certain way of talking. Well, they did too. Did you know that? They were not intellectual superiors. Jesus chose 12 very humble, very ordinary people of diverse background. They were primarily Galilean, but some were politically on the left, if you will, and some were politically on the right. And Jesus called them to come be a part of a greater kingdom. And He said, we're going to raise you guys up. And He puts them together in twos. The 12 were in twos. And you betcha, the twos that were together were polar opposites. He's showing the world that the kingdom transcends this kingdom. You see, the Holy Spirit was uniting the disciples of Jesus to show that the kingdom culture is greater than a political party culture that we live in right here and right now. The world is polarizing at what we have in common. The Holy Spirit gives us something in common. Communion that we come to every Sunday reminds us, and it just means two simple words, common union. That's what we are. We have a common union. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 through 7 talks in detail about this, where it says that he wants, Paul says, I'm eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, who is all in all. But the grace was given to each one of us according to the measure. This is the diversity of gifts are being given. There's a diversity of gifts, but all of these things that we have, once again, together. Once again, we have all of these things. And what happened in Pentecost, all of these people, they were hearing the Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors of Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans, Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed to one another, saying, what does this mean? But others were mocking. The miracle of this, the miracle of God uniting His people to speak a language that the world can then comprehend and understand, because not only were they speaking in Galilean language and that dialect, they were speaking the perfect dialect of everyone listening. Now, I've seen this actually happen, or I didn't see it happen, but I've actually met a man named James Thomas, and this was a long time ago. I met him, and he was a missionary to Guatemala, and he was telling his story. He's telling a few of us his story, that when he was a teenager, he's like 14 or 15 years old, there was a revival in his church in Paducah, Kentucky, and there was a man who was there saying, you're all going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to speak in new tongues. Now, I've said that to people before, too. David Tang shared his story, and everyone has a different story when it comes to this. But the thing about this man is he actually received a new language, and he began to speak in Spanish. He's from Kentucky. He was a Galilean hillbilly. He's from Kentucky. And this guy then goes up to the front. The guy said, come on up here and read the bulletin. He was given a Sunday morning bulletin in English, and he began to read it in Spanish. Now, that was a miracle. Then he was speaking in Spanish. That was a miracle. But here's two more miracles. He spoke in Castilian Spanish, in Castellano. He was speaking a fluid level of this Spanish language that is spoken by los ricos. The rich people were speaking that, the aristocrats. He was speaking that. He goes to Guatemala. He sings a song called Yo Tengo Viva Nueva. I have a new life, and he has a new heart, new corazón. Everything in Spanish is always goes back. Every Spanish song, everything's about the corazón. You know, it's like that love, that amor, mi amor en tu corazón. I'm going to pour into your heart. Yo ni no necesito tu corazón aquí. So they're singing all these songs. So he sings this song about I have a new life, and guess what? It made it all the way in the pop charts to number one in Guatemala. This is amazing, isn't it? Now, we're not really talking about this morning, but this does still happen today. This happens. The level of expectation that you have in your heart is the level that God will give you more of Him. You know, do you expect more? Do you? Now, we can't always define expect what more is, because we all are given a certain grace. We all are given certain gifts. But I think I want to mention this because they're together brought this on. Now, church, let me speak personally to you. I don't even like to say, hey, church, that sounds too cool. And I don't, you know, it's your people, right? But we are a church family. And I would say this with all certainty. The more we are together, the more God will do in our midst. And that means a lot of things. That means we have to drop our egos at the door, doesn't it? That means we have to drop our preferences. That means that there's a lot of give and a lot of giving up. And a lot of surrender, and a lot of preferring one another is more important than ourselves. There's a lot of that. Tonight, I have a prediction that the winner of the Super Bowl will, after it's the game together, we prayed together, we believed together, we were on mission together. They're going to use that word together over and over again. You know how I know that? That's pretty much the speech every year. Every year. Someone will get on. And then someone will talk about, yeah, we just want to give God thanks. And thank God for the NFL, right? There's always those guys. I'm not sure that happens in the NHL. Pastor Adam, wherever you are. We still need a revival in some of our sports, but one thing for sure, and we know this, there is a move of God with the NFL, and there are Christian believers on both sides of the field, so don't ask God for your team to win, all right? Just don't go there. Let it happen. Let it happen. Let God be God. Let these guys play. Let it be a good time. But that is the reality. And when we do this, when we cooperate with God, when we love one another, when we show the world our love for one another, we show them that we can get slapped by somebody on the cheek and turn up our other cheek. If somebody says, go with me a mile, we go 2 miles. We are living in a different kingdom, and we are not identifying with a political party as our ultimate identity. Our ultimate identity is in Jesus Christ, so that every election cycle, we don't forget that, because God wants a unity of the Spirit and a unity of faith, but not unity of vote. It's just not going to happen on this side of heaven. Don't get mad at me. I know we all want everybody to vote the way we want. No, I want you to vote your conscience, vote scripture, vote that, but it is not something to be angry with people over or to, but when you're a part of the kingdom that's greater than this world, you can just shout hallelujah all the time and not worry about our differences. Let's look at what we have in common. It gives me my final point. The Holy Spirit empowers. The Holy Spirit empowers. Verse 14, Peter standing with the 11, he lifted his voice and he addressed them, men of Judea and those who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour at 9 a.m. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it shall be, praise God. Praise God. The last days began when Jesus came. All right, now we're on this side. The Messiah came. We've been in this casket empty series. This is all in the context. Finally, the Messiah came. Finally, the kingdom came. Finally, the kingdom is here. You know the kingdom's here. It's here now. It's not yet also. There's certain things. We're gonna physically die. But the kingdom is now, and it's not yet. But the main thing to remember is the kingdom is here now. You can ask God. You can ask the Holy Spirit to help you practically, spiritually, empowering you. And here's Peter standing up, lifting his voice. Peter was the one who had just denied Christ, yet now he's the preacher. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, but this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. There's nothing more precious to see your sons and your daughters in the natural or in the spirit, your spiritual sons and daughters. If you don't have natural children, you can have spiritual children. Spiritual children are a blessing from God the Father too. And it's a joy to see your spiritual children prophesying. Now, prophecy doesn't have to be some weird thing. Like you come up to someone and say, thus saith the Lord. That scares me. Here's, thus saith the Lord is your Bible. The Word of God, the eternal God, the canon of God, the inspired Word of God, the God-breathed. But there are prophecies that people can get for us too, but we don't need to be weird about that when that happens. I got really wigged out one time when I was a young man and a girl came up and prophesied that I was going to marry her. And it was not Lynette. I didn't know her back then. I don't know if she was born back then. Compliment. The Holy Spirit empowers you to be a witness. He empowers you. You've experienced, you're delivered. I've experienced, I mean, you know, we wait until we're more intellectual and we understand more things. We will never understand what the smartest minds know. But there's an experience that you have that's unique to you, and when the Holy Spirit starts working in you, with you, around you, through you, then He does the work. He does the work. The worst thing we can try to do, the worst thing, is we can try to put the Holy Spirit in a category or in a box, because He will not stay there. He's not your pet. He's not the force. let the force of the Holy Spirit. No, he's a person. He's a person. He has a mind. He has a will. He has emotions. He feels things. And our job is not to line him up, but to line up with him. And sometimes it's completely 100% out of control. John 3:8 says these words. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, Jesus said, "The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." So it is with everyone. Everyone who is born of the Spirit. You're going to go where you didn't think you'd go. You're going to do what you didn't think you could do. You're going to go beyond it. God is doing a work in you. I remember reading this scripture, and I'm so glad I have part two and part three. I'll be here next Sunday too, but I'm so thankful. I read this in July 4th, 1995 in Beijing, China. I read this about, they were gathered together in an upper room. I was in the 16th floor. I was going in to speak to the educators for the Communist Party's officials who they were teaching them English, but at nighttime, they were young believers and they were campus ministers. They invited me. I ended up in this upper room. I taught them for 3 days. They had not been baptized. They didn't know the Bible. Many of them didn't have Bibles, and I began to teach them. And then on day three, I get to this passage. I said, okay, today's the day that we talk about the Holy Spirit. I read these words that I just read to you. And it was about 100 degrees in the room. In the outside, it was about 95 degrees. I'm wrapping up now. And that was because I'm getting a clue down here. It's time. Okay, I get the hint. I'm going to tell you this story, and we'll be done. And then we'll stand together and take the Lord's Supper. As a matter of fact, let's have our ushers just come down and distribute the communion elements while I share this story. Try to stay focused here, because this was a game changer. So I'm reading these verses out of Acts 2, 1-4. I'm in a room, and the windows were shut because had my English voice been heard by a neighbor, they could have reported us to the Chinese police, who would have come to this apartment and shut us down. I was training about 16 Chinese young ministers. Campus ministers. Many of them were still at the university. Some were working on advanced degrees. They were very bright. We had already baptized all of them. There was no bathtub there, but there was an upright shower, so we held them under the shower, and when they were sufficiently wet, and the wetness went from their head to their toes, we said, okay, now I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's how we baptized them. So a man by the name of Bob Fu and I were working together. He was my translator. But when we got to this on the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, something amazing happened. In that upper room, the wind began to blow, but no windows were open. Curtains were blowing. Paper was blowing around the room. Tissues were blowing for 3 hours. There was no explanation except this was a modern day sign and a wonder. And then the next morning, and they said that. They said, this is amazing. We're reading. You know the name of the Spirit is Ruach. You have to get the ch, Ruach. It means wind or spirit or breath. Pneuma means in the Greek, wind, spirit, or breath. The Holy Spirit, like a wind, began to move in that room. The next morning, we said, tomorrow we get up, we're going to pray to receive the Holy Spirit. The next morning, Pastor Casey Liu was there as my interpreter, and he said, let me lead you in a hymn. He sang a traditional Chinese hymn. The wind came again, and all 16 of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in unknown tongues, all of them. They went out the following week, and they preached the gospel. And then they wrote back to us. Remember those days when you would actually write a letter? They wrote back to us. And they made a phone call, and they said, you've got to come help us again. We need another training center, because we went out and we all preached for 7 hours without notes. 7 hours without notes. That was their sign to them. That would be a sign to me too. 7 hours without notes. Just like you, people just like you, see yourself as being filled with the Holy Spirit, and you go to Parsippany, New Jersey, or you go to Darien, Connecticut, or you go to Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. You go to Coney Island, and you stand before people, and you preach for 3 hours without notes, and miracles begin to happen through you. That's what happened. And we've gone back. We set up training centers with the help of John Maxwell, who's a leadership guru, and his nonprofit leadership. There's been 1.8 million Chinese who have gone through our training sessions in 25 years. That's for one and only one reason. The wind blew, and the wind's still blowing. Let's stand up together. We're going to honor our Lord Jesus. Nothing good happens to us without Him. Nothing good happens without the Holy Spirit. In us coming to the Lord's table, we're acknowledging that His finished work makes us qualified to receive the Holy Spirit. What He did, it's not because we are better than anybody. We're not. We're recipients. The New York mantra is, I did it my way. The New York mantra is, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. It's all self-empowered. But at the cross, it's Jesus only. And the reflection of this right here is that, Lord, I have nothing to bring. I'm broke. I'm empty. I need your help. And as we acknowledge that, then the next thing you know, the Holy Spirit fills us. And so we just do this right now. We just take the body of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that on the cross you made all of the gift of life possible. And Lord, you never left us alone. You sent your Holy Spirit. And today we know that we need less of us and more of you. And we receive you now in your finished work on the tree, on the cross. Thank you that you took my shame, my guilt, my burdens, my pain, my physical ailments. You took it all on the tree. And we partake of this right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. By your stripes we're healed. We thank you that your blood, through your blood, we have remission, forgiveness, cleansing of our sins. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Lord, we ask. We have not because we ask not. We ask you, Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Just fill us right now. Fill us, Lord. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just raise your hand and just say, Lord, I ask you to fill me. In Jesus' name, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I need more of you, Lord. Less of me, more of you. More power, more joy, more fellowship with you, more understanding of Scripture, more wisdom, more knowledge. Thank you, Lord. More of your fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Lord, thank you. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's just sing and worship the Lord together. Just continue in that spirit.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.